So I want to finish off the previous Gemara. We talked a lot about different aspects of the mitzvah of Gerushin, the character of Gerushin. So we wanted to finish with that and then move on to a very quick topic, hopefully, on, I think I already alluded to it, but I wanted to bring some of the Makoros, the idea of a there being like a second category of get me'ava, and then we'll start doing from the beginning. Okay, so we were discussing, I'm just going to run through the Gemara very quickly. We're going to need Mara Makomos from the new, but yeah, and also from the old this evening. Okay, so the Gemara here, just I want to go through, every time I start going to Chakra Vitaria, I get, not distracted, but it takes, you know, a little time because there's so many issues to discuss.
We're already finished, we already had Sadi.
We're at the end.
Yeah. We're well ahead of where we normally are.
So, the getting back to the to the basic issue, I'm just going to go through the Chakra Vitaria straight for the first time, and fill in whatever gaps remain. So the Mishnah here on Sadi Yom Aleph, which we've been discussing, has the three basic shitos about the grounds for divorce. They shamay omer lo yigarish adam esishto elam kein matzaba dvar erva. Beishamai is of the opinion that only if there's actually a dvar erva, a real betrayal of the marriage, only under those circumstances is there justification for divorce. Shenemar ki matzaba ervas davar. Beisil omra filik dicha tavshilo. Even if this sounds certainly, as if it's something more trivial, literally it means that the stew or the cooked item was burnt. Shenemar ki matzah ba ervas davar, the emphasis also on the davar. And Rabbi Kiva omar filu matzah acheres na heimena. Shenemar v'haya imlo timtzachein beinav. Even if he's come to the conclusion that he is a better candidate, that's what it sounds like in Rabbi Akiva. Then the Gemara goes on, just to run through the Gemara quickly, and then we'll sum up and then move on. Tanya Amaru Beisil Beishamai, so Beisil turned to Beishamai. This is their argument about the drasha, how to interpret the psukim. Valo kvar nemar davar. I mean, it says davar, says Beisil also. What do you do with davar if you're strictly requiring to justify gerushin, erva? Says the Gemara, Amru Lahem, Beishamai Elokonemar Ervas. I could ask you the same thing. Why do you think that the Torah emphasizes the word Ervas? So Amru Lahem Beisilal, Imnemar Ervas, if it had only said Ervas, Velo Nemar Davar, without saying Davar, Hayiti Omer, I would have said, Mishum Erva Teitse, Mishum Davar Lo Teitse. Meaning if it only had said Ervas, so then Inachanami, we would have thought that that would be the only grounds for divorce. The kach nemar davar, the ilu nemar davar velo nemar ervas. If it had said davar, implying other grounds, not betrayal of the marriage, and it didn't say ervas, so Yisi Omer says Beis Hillel, it was very important. Mishum davar tinase laacher, umishum erva lo tinase laacher. So this, of course, is fascinating. The idea that there might have been a suggestion that if she had been unfaithful in the marriage, and that was the reason for the divorce, then maybe she would be disqualified to marry anyone else. That's not the halacha, right? But that is Hillel, that would have been a possible interpretation if the Torah had only said davar, meaning the pasuk which says that there's something called a divorce, which then goes on to describe a remarriage, a second divorce, and then discusses Machzor Grushaso, maybe that those psukim would apply only to Davar, but not to Ervas, because if it was truly Ervas, not only would she be prohibited to him, in the marriage, but she would not be marriageable to anyone else either. Lekach Nemar, Ervas. What does Beis Shammai say about all this? Hi Davar. My Abdulay, what do they do with the word davar? Says the Gemara, Nemar kan davar, Nemar lahalan davar, al pi shnei edim, al pi shlosha edim yakum davar, right? So the word davar appears here, ervas davar. Later on it appears in the context of requiring two, or minimum two, or three Edim, that for the Davar, Mal Alon Vishne Edim, Avkan Vishne Edim. So the implication would be that if we're talking about establishing that there was a betrayal of the marriage, that that would require not just, you know, an accusation, that would require Davar, that would require Edus. Okay. Ubeis Hillel, what does Beis Hillel say about that? Miksiv Erva Bidavar. Then it sort of said, the Pasuk, Erva Bidavar, not Erva's Davar. Ubeis Shammai, Miksiv O Erva O Davar, according to Beis Hillel, it sounds like there are two, you know, different grounds for divorce, either Davar or Erva. Then the Torah should have said, oh, Ubeis Hillel, Lahachi Ksiv Erva Stavar, Demash Mahachi, Umash Mahachi. You don't need the word O. You know, even if it says ervas davar, it's like a, you know, ervas davar, it's like a comma, you know, I guess in between. So this is the discussion between Hillel and Shammai. Then, just take it a little further, Rabbi Kiva Marfila Matzah Acheres Na Heimana, but my commitment, what's the argument about? But the Reish Lakish, Dam Reish Lakish, Ki Mishamesh, it says, you know, Ki Matzah Ba Ervas Davar, the word Ki, you know, has four different dalel lashonos. In Torah, there are four different legitimate translations to the word ki. E, right? One ki is if, dilma, less, ella, right? Or deha. So beishami sabri, dehaya in lo timzachein beinav. Ki, matzah ba'ervas davar, means deha, Matzah ba'ervas davar. He is unhappy with her because matzah ba'ervas davar, because she betrayed the marriage. That's where Beis Shammai is reading the pasuk, that everything focuses on the worst case scenario of matzah ba'dvar erva. Rabbi Akiva savar ki matzah ba'ervas davar, right? Inami, right? It'd be the e, the ki means inami matzah ba'ervas. Amalei Rapapa L'Rabba, Lo Matzah Ba Lo Erva, this is very important now. So Amalei Rapapa L'Rabba, Rapapa turns to Rabba and says, Lo Matzah Ba Lo Erva, Ba Lo Davar, Mahu. Let's say, right, he didn't find, you know, he didn't have either evidence of or even an accusation of Erva, and not of Davar either. What is Davar? Right, something that's less than, but some sort of, he just wants to get divorced. Can he get divorced, you know, without cause? Now, according to the Rajba that we've already seen, this Gemara, and this is true also of the Tshuva of the Rashbash, right? The Rashbash was the son of the Tashbates, if that helps anybody. So he has a Tshuva, Simon Tuf, I believe, Aleph, number 401. I think it's the last Tshuva Nevchelik of the Rashbash. So the following the Rajba, no relationship between the Rajba and the Rashbash, just, you know, Rosh Tevos letters, but nothing more. But both of them are in agreement that this line in the Gemara, Amalera Papa Larava, is within the worldview of Beis Shammai. Okay, the Rajba, we already saw it. Again, if you want to see it in the Mar Makomos again, just to go back for a moment, not the new Mar Makomos, which we're very grateful to have, but the old Mar Makomos, or we'll call them the previous Mar Makomos, right? Right? They never get old. I mean, they're always, you know, emeritus.
You know. The Friedrich.
What? The Friedrich. The Friedrich. So if you look here on page... 1 second. On page 4, I think it's good. Page 4. So you have the Chidush HaRashba, Gittin, Tzadi, Omid Aleph.
Yeah.
Everybody has that? So if you look, he says, So again, I'm not going to go through the whole thing again because we've done this. But this relates to the problem that the Yerushalmi and the Tshuva HaRashba deal with, which is the following. If Beis Shammai only allows divorce in cases of actual betrayal of the marriage, so how can the Psukim, you know, then speak about Matzah Grushaso and tell you that you're prohibited from remarrying her. Of course you're prohibited from remarrying her. You are obligated to divorce her, you know, because she betrayed the marriage vows. He can't continue to live with her. So it sounds like the whole institution of Masa Grishaso is totally superfluous if you hold like Beishamah. Okay, that is the question. So in answer to that question, the Rajba says, no, it's not superfluous, because these are, you know, legitimate grounds, but b'di'eved, if he divorced her, then the divorce would be chal. That's the words in the Rajba. If you look here, go down three lines towards the end of the third line. Ulefum ma'ida asikna b'gemara in hacha, according to what our Gemara concludes, v'lo matzaba lo erva v'lo davar, right? But if there are no grounds, not erva, not davar, v'girsha mai, the Gemara says, what will be the halacha? So, my da'avad avad, b'di'avad, it's okay, it didn't be that line yet, but we'll get to it in just a second. Nira de'lo tzrichin le'ukne balava asei, el dimava b'girsha te'asura lachsalo. Okay? Now, what is the question of Yerushalmi that the Rajba is trying to answer? How can Beis Shammai, right, live with the Hemshech HaPsukim? So in order for, what's the Rajba's answer? That even though L'chatchila Beis Shammai requires Ervas Davar, b'di'eved, if he was Megarish, the Gerushin is Chal. Which means that he understands this line in the Gemara. Now I'll go back to the line in the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Amalei Rapapala Rava, lo matza, lo erva, lo davar, mahu. If there are no sufficient grounds, what's the halacha? Now look at Rashi for a minute. Lo matza, lo erva, lo davar, what does Rashi say? L'beis Hillel, v'girsha. Right? So meaning, Rashi is interpreting the Gemara's question according to Beis Hillel. The Gemara is saying, listen, Beis Hillel, if there's no grounds, no erva, and no davar, and he just does it as a whim, he doesn't have an excuse, he didn't even burn the stew, whatever that means, right? Even that didn't happen. You know, what's the halacha? But the Rajba and the Rajbash thought that the Gemara was Aliba de Beis Shammai. Ah, so this becomes a very important Gemara, I'll explain. Meaning, according to Rashi, we don't have any evidence that Rashi's view is that Beis Shammai holds a b'di'eved. If you divorce for some other reason, the divorce is chal. It's possible to say, I'm not saying that Rashi holds this way, it's hard to know without interviewing him, but at least in terms of the objective evidence of the Gemara, it's conceivable that according to Rashi's understanding of Beis Shammai, if there's no Ervas Davar, then there's not only no grounds for divorce, but maybe the Gerushin isn't even chal. Right? Because this whole Shaka Vitaria is only Aliba de Beis Hillel, it's not Aliba de Beis Shammai. But according to the Rajba, the Gemara itself is wondering, b'di'eved, if you were to go forward, even though without an excuse, would the get bichal? And we'll see in a moment, the Gemara's answer is yes, it will. So according to the Rajba and the Rajbash, who read this Gemara, according to Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai's din is not ma'akev, it's only, you know, the proper, you know, to do this, that's the chiyuv. You violate, according to the Rashbash, let me say, the evidence chal, but you violated a lav. That's also very mechudash. No one else understands where that lav came from. But that's the tshuva of the Rashbash. Okay. Anyways, so this is the answer the Gemara gives. The Gemara says, Amarlei, midigali rachman, a very interesting answer, gabe ones, right, if a person is ma'anes someone, a girl, right, terrible thing. So the halacha is that he is obligated to marry her if the father and the daughter, you know, want that. Okay? And not only that, but the Torah says that once that happens, that he is not allowed to divorce her. Lo yuchal l'shalchal kol yamav. Right? But it doesn't actually mean what it sounds like, which is also fascinating, meaning you could have thought that what the Torah meant was that if he's ma'anes and then he marries her, that he's not allowed to divorce her, period. And if he tries to divorce her, that the get is not chal. But that's also not true. What's really true, though, is that even if he divorces her, and therefore the gerushin would be chal, that he's obligated to remarry her. obviously as long as he can, meaning before she marries someone else. So that's what it means. Lo yuchal l'shalcho kol yamav, kol yamav ba'amod v'hachazir koi. Meaning he is constantly obligated to remarry her. Now, by the way, just because in the case that we have lo yuchal shalcho kol yamav, it doesn't mean that the get isn't chal, it means that he's obligated to remarry her, that doesn't mean that the same is true for Beis Shammai. Because, remember one thing, and that is that, which I was saying is possibly an outgrowth, we're not sure, of the machlokes between Rashi and the Rashba. Because, just think of it this way, in the case of a woman who is an anusa, right, so for her protection, right, we are, you know, insisting, al pidin, you know, that he not divorce her. And if he does, that he remarry her. Meaning he, you know, basically, you know, destroyed her life or tried to destroy her life. And therefore, you know, the way that he's going to compensate or make amends, you know, to the extent that he can, if the daughter of the father wanted, right, is to marry her. And, you know, he doesn't have the right to divorce her. But that doesn't mean the divorce isn't chal. It means that he has to, if he divorces her, he has to remarry her. So how come I'm thinking that when it comes to Beis Shammai, who says he's not allowed to divorce her absent of Ervas Davar, that maybe the divorce will not even be chal? The answer is simple. Because in the case of Anusa, the reason that he's not allowed to divorce her, right, has nothing to do with the objective nature of marriage. It's a specific obligation. It's a specific compensation for what he did to her, right? The marriage itself is like any other marriage, you know. But the idea of Beis Shammai, if you take it to its extreme, is that a marriage is permanent unless it is objectively been, you know, undermined. And if objectively be undermined means, you know, only Ervas Davar, that anything but that is, objectively speaking, marriage is irrevocable unless it is, you know, miskalkel, unless it was completely destroyed. So what I'm trying to suggest is that there's a fundamental difference between the inability to divorce in Beis Shammai and the inability to divorce in Anusa. And that might, you know, it might go in either direction. On the one hand, you know, it could be that Beis Shammai is b'di'eved, everything is fine. You know, he's not even obligated to remarry her. Right. Or it could be that because he has such very strict grounds for divorce, that the divorce itself would not be chal absent those grounds. Whereas in the case of Anusa, as I say, it's not the nature of this particular marriage that determines that there's no permissibility of divorce. It's actually just this personal back history and the relationship of the parties. Yeah.
So how would we then compare this, let's say, to marriage? You know, we talked about Yerushalmi about marriage of goy, you know, of an Akkum or a non-Jew.
Yeah.
They don't have marriage in theory. It's completely, you can't divorce or you can't ever really marry. I mean, it's an all or nothing kind of approach. Yerushalmi seems to
be... I mean, Yerushalmi, just remember, I mean, there was one line in Yerushalmi, as we said last time, that says that one view that there's no divorce for Ben Noach.
Right, so Beis Shammai is really moved very close to that.
Not really. I mean,
a complete undermining of a marriage. In other words, he's saying the marriage really is permanent unless you've done something that has essentially said that there's no fidelity anymore.
Right. Right, but we'll see in a moment.
Non-Jews, which essentially say you're married forever. The only difference is that if you totally are mizanin the non-Jewish marriage...
Right, but that's a huge... Is that a small difference or a big difference? Well, we'll see in a moment. We'll see.
Critical, but it's still...
No, I understand. So we'll see in a moment. I want to look at the Sefer HaChinuch, that the Sefer HaChinuch, you know, takes a shot at, you know, at the non-Jewish, this non-Jewish view. And then he says, oh, so... You know, there can be a betrayal of the marriage. You know, she can, that's all okay, and there'll never be a divorce. Meaning, he's like accentuating the grounds. You know, that just doesn't make. So, you're right. It is much closer to that. But, you know, it's not quite because there's still objective circumstances. you know, where they're not going to be stuck together. I guess in all the other issues, like, you know, he has other cases too. He says, oh, she's burning down, you know, his, she's burning his clothes every day and, you know, and making his life miserable, you know, and he has no recourse. You talk about the, he doesn't say the Catholics, but, you know, he says this, you know, those who have that, you know, view. So that part of it, what would you say about that for Beit Shammai?
It reduces the lofty. We talk Kedushas Ishus. It's right. About so much of this connection and the fidelity, and more than just right. You know the say the be or the lack of or the mizuz.
Right. Right. Well, that's because we've been trying to explain.
Right. So Beit Shammai has really narrowed that.
Well, that's the irony. You know, if you look at it all this way, which is the way I'm, you know, pushing predominantly to look at it. Most people start off looking at it the opposite way. Namely, Beit Shammai is respecting marriage and therefore insisting that, you know, the only time that there's grounds for divorce, you know, is in the betrayal of the marriage. Otherwise, you really have to work at it and put it back together, etc. And like Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, you know, they're much more frivolous about the whole thing. I've been working hard to try to, you know, trying to portray the exact opposite, not the opposite for Beit Shammai, but at least the opposite for Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. But the truth is that the majority view, unquestionably, we'll see, you know, we get to the Levush and the, you know, this idea of Gerushin Me'aba. Well, see, he too seems to be, you know, thinking all things being equal, if you hold like Beit Shammai, that, you know, maybe even B'dieved it wouldn't work without Erbas Tamar. But certainly the majority of you, I'm saying if you hold like Rashi, there's no evidence in the Gemara that the get is called B'dieved if you go ahead with it. But according to the Rajba and the Rajbash, there is. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not certain, according to Rashi, whether the worst wouldn't be that he's omed the, you know, hachazer, or maybe even less than that. So you're probably right. I mean, probably. I'll sum up in a minute, but there's a view, and let me say it this way already. The Mishnah Lamelech in Perek Yud, Hilchos Ishus.
I just want to ask, in the case of an anusa, the initial situation is are they clear, right? Basin can force him to marry her.
Yeah.
Okay. How about on the remarriage? Do they force him on the remarriage?
Yeah, I mean, he's omed, he's obligated.
He's also are they clear?
I think so. I mean, he's obligated. That's what it means. Lo yishkal yishalcha kol yamav. It doesn't mean that the get isn't chal, but it does mean that he's obligated, and it sounds like we could force him, you know, to comply. Yeah, so this the Mishnah Melech in Parak Yud, Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Chaf Aleph, has, like, you know, a very long piece where he discusses the whole Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, you know, Rabbi Akiva, who does the Rambam really paskin like, you know, what kind of machlokas is it really? Is it really a machlokas, you know, about B'dieved or L'chatchil? So he has a whole different, whole group of things. I'll sum them up in a minute. But one of the suggestions that he quotes is in the name of, I'm just see if I can find it here quickly, if not I'm not going to bother, but he quotes us in the name of the Knesset HaGedola. Yeah, it's a long piece. He said the Knesset HaGedola was of the opinion that the whole argument between Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Akiva is only Eitza Tova. Okay, that's like the most minimal. You know, they're arguing about, you know, hashkafa, basically. You know, what's the right thing to do? Which is not a small matter, right? But, you know, the Mishnah Lamelech and other achronim mostly reject that. Put to the Tanoi, Beis Shammai, Omer lo yigarshon misishto. Elam kein batzei erva stav, Beis Hillel b'kicha tavshilo, kibar mafil netzanoch nahimena. So I'll get that in a second also. But here, I'll just see if I can find the Knesset HaGedola. It's a very long piece. So if not, I'll just leave it to you to look at. But he has this idea. One second. It's very, very long. But I'm not finding it at the moment, but it's in here somewhere. Anyway, so the view of the Knesset HaGedola, I think it's the Knesset HaGedola, is that the whole thing is an Eitz HaTova. When I speak about whether or not, you know, it is Ma'akev B'dieved, that doesn't mean it's an Eitz if it's not Ma'akev B'dieved, that doesn't mean it's an Eitz HaTova. Right? It means that you are violating the Halacha, I mean, the Psukim mean what they mean, and that's a Din D'oraisa, You know, but that doesn't mean that the get b'di'evad is simchah. So I just want to make that, you know, clear. So there are really three levels, you could say. One is, it's an Eitzah Tova, and again, it's the Eitzahs of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Akiva. So, you know, those are not Dvarim Ketanim. And then hashkafically, they certainly reflect a lot about the nature of marriage. That's one extreme. And then the other extreme is that, you know, it's not, it's actually Ma'akev. Now, the idea that it could be Ma'akev only makes sense, frankly, I can't prove this, but for Beis Shammai. Meaning, you're not going to say, according to Beis Hillel, that there was a real, I mean, maybe there was a Havamin, according to Rashi. It's, I mean, according to Rashi says, when the Gemara says, Lo Matza Lo Erba Velo Davar Mahu, right? And then the Gemara is going to say, of course, but the evidence chal. So according to Rashi, there's no evidence that but the evidence chal for Beis Shammai, and you could be Mechalik. But what was the Havamin, according to Rashi, for Beis Hillel, that if there's no Erva and there's no Hikdicha Tafshilo, and he just divorces her, that it wouldn't be chal? Meaning Hikdicha Tafshilo is serious enough that it would be the difference between you know, it would be Koveya B'di'evad? So that's a little strange. I think that's why the Rajba and the Rajbash assume that the whole Shaka Vatari in the Gemara is only according to Beis Shammai. I think that they were saying was, listen, of course. But Beis Hillel, this isn't really a serious question. You know, of course it's, you know, this is justified, that's not justified, but of course at the end of the day, Hikdicha Tafshilo Shilo is not a kilkul in the Ishus, you know, that would justify something that otherwise B'di'evad wouldn't be Chal. Right? Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So that's what I wanted to say. So that's the Gemara's conclusion here, where the Gemara says, here. Hasam udigali rachmana aval hacha ma'ida avad avad. Okay? Meaning, b'di'evad, you know, even if it's not erba or davar, that is going to be chal. So just to sum up, for Beis Shammai, you know, there is a number of questions. Number one, what does Ervas Davar mean? Some Rishonim, clearly the Yerushalmi's assumption is that Ervas Davar means really a sota, meaning a real betrayal of the marriage. The Rajba and the Tshuva, we saw this already, I'm just summing up now, but no, even Maisa Kiyur, any, you know, any objective, improper behavior on a Znus level, not that sota, but, you know, other conduct also that is unbecoming in that realm would also be enough for Beis Shammai to end the marriage. Then, in addition to that, there's this view of the Knesset Agadola, who thinks that even Beis Shammai is only an Eitzah Tova. Okay? There's another view that sees the whole discussion of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Akiva as relating only to a case of Nesua, not Arusa. That's the beginning of this Mishnah Malach. I think that's he quotes in the name of the Marashdam. It says, V'kos of Marashdam, b'tshuva, the adkan lo pligi b'shamay b'sila le Rabbi Akiva elab de Nesua, av a barusa kula amamodu afilu matza acheres na himeno. And the Mishnah Malach disagrees. So this is also an interesting distinction. Namely to say that the whole argument, it's not an Eitzah Tova, fine, but what it is, it's only in the case of a Nesua. If she was an Arusa, I mean, they never got to the point of Nesuin, so they never cemented the bond, you know, of, you know, the intimate relationship, but it doesn't just mean that on an emotional level and physical level, it means there was no chuppah. So, for example, you know, there was no hetzer isha labala. The dinim of, you know, baal ki ishto, ishto kebaal depend on nesua. A number of things depend on it. Yerusha, tuma, hafaras nedarim, right? Other things, they all depend on nesua. I mean, nesua is a, you know, is the final stage that cements the bond of husband and wife. So it's a very fascinating suggestion by the Marashdam to say that if we were talking about Arusa, you know, so, you know, then the conditions for divorce, even according to Beis Shammai, would be much more lenient. Now that, you know, could be understood in one of two ways. Again, if the whole thing is closer to like Eitz HaTova and it's more about, you know, this is inappropriate, you're supposed to treat this Davar Shebe Kedusha of Ishus in a different way, so then of course we can understand, you know, from an emotional slash hashkafic, let's say, point of view, that there's a difference between Arusa and Nesua, right? In the same way, as we'll see in a moment, you know, that people make a distinction between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. But what I'm suggesting is it may be more than that, because even objectively the bond is different. Again, in the case of Erusin, as we've said many times, especially according to the Rambam, you know, the Erusin part is a Kinyan, it's really an Oser, it's really about the formal legal status of husband and wife. You know, the Nesuin is when the actual emotional bond and the actual, you know, again, identity of their interests, you know, and the real, you know, beso, you know, begins. So it isn't just, you know, if you would make this distinction and say, oh, Beishamai, you know, is only, you know, in the Sua, not in Arusa, it's not just like an emotional or like, you know, a propriety, like a Hilchos Deos type of thing, like, you know, it's not, you know, so before they begin living together, it isn't, you know, you know, inappropriate, you know, to divorce in a more frivolous way, you know, than if they never got to that point. It's more like, what is the nature of the, it's a different level of ishus.
Kinu and stila applies to Erusin?
Say again?
Kinu and stila applies to Erusin?
No.
The institution of kinu and
stila? I mean, I guess it could. Yeah, I mean, she's an eshesh already at the point of being a rusa, so it could. Yeah, I mean, let's say she's a rusa and he accuses her of, you know, behaving inappropriately. There could be kinu and stila. Okay, so that is a second distinction, in addition to the Eitz HaTov idea. As I say, a third is the possibility that we're mechalik between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. Now that comes from the Gemara a little bit, but the Gemara doesn't say that it's connected to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So just look at the end Gemara for a minute. The Gemara says, so just, you know, now we'll fiddle in the middle. On Tzadi Amud Beis, the Gemara says as follows. Oh. Look at the Gemara here, six lines from the bottom, or the last word on the six lines up. The Gemara says, Kisane Shalach. Everybody have that? So this is a pasuk in Malachi. Kisane Shalach, right? That's where the pasuk goes. Kisane shalach, when he hates, he should divorce or something like that. Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael v'kisa, right? Chamas alavusho. Amar Hashem tzevakos v'nishmartem bruchachem v'lo sivgodu. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? Kisane shalach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im sinesa, right? Shalach. So Rashi says, Kirabi Akiva. That's also interesting, actually. In Shanesa Shalach, if he hates her, he should, you know, let her go. He should divorce her. Because that's Rabbi Akiva. If you recall, the Rambam said that Rabbi Akiva, I discussed this last week in Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam said, no, Rabbi Akiva just was, he wants to marry somebody nicer, better. He should marry them both. Right? But there's no bad relations between them. But according to Rashi, the pashtus for Rabbi Akiva, right? It's like the Pnei Yehoshua explained, right? This is a bad relationship. So im sinesa shalach, that's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan amar sanui hamishaleach. First we're saying he should get rid of her, and now we're saying that he's, you know, hated if he does that. Now the two girsos, Rashi says, im snua hi lefnei amakom shalach. That's another girsa. Kidei shamai, meaning if she does things that are inappropriate in the marriage, then he should, you know, not just because he hates her personally, but if she does things that make her lefnei amakom sanui shalach. But istigarsi argirsa sanui hamishaleach v'zu shamati sanui hamishaleach lefnei amakom ve'afil lebeis hillel. This is interesting. Nehi delo kaifinan shelo lahotzi miu sanuihu. Right? Meaning, we will not, you know, pressure him or force him not to divorce her, according to Hillel, if ikdicha tavshilo. But that doesn't mean we're throwing him a party, you know, or making him guest of honor in the shul dinner. Right? Meaning, it's possible that these are grounds for divorce, but that doesn't mean that we approve. That's what Rashi says. Okay. According to those, we talked about this last week, right? You know, there's this, you know, interesting, you know, debate about what Hillel and Rabbi Akiva really means. The Pashtus, you know, they're taking a more favorable, so it seems like they're taking, I'm not talking about the underlying even more, which we'll get back to, but it sounds like they're saying, oh, ikdicha tavshilo, something as silly, you know, as that. He gets angry because his, you know, his food was, or matzah isha raw nahimena, you know, which is, you know, a very serious matter, but we're, you know, clearly we're not happy with it. Right. On the other hand, we also noted that the Meiri thinks that, you know, hikdicha tavshilo means they're having, like, you know, this nasty personal war. You know, she burns his food all the time intentionally. She shrinks his clothes. You know, all sorts of, you know, like the warring, you know, they have like one of these warring, you know, kind of relationships. So that already, if that were the case, that's sonui lamakom, right? Not necessarily. Or, again, we talked about, you know, the Rambam's view in, or ikdicha tavshilo, maybe even more. Maybe like a nicer way to say, you know, that there is improper behavior in the marriage. Far short of ervas davar, right? But, again, the expression in Chazal, sometimes ikdicha tavshilo, is used for like a serious violation, you know, as well. Just as in Rabbi Akiva, we discussed it in Tehillim Shul, says, listen, if it's already, you know, matzah isha or na himena, so then she's grusha salev, you know. And then he's got to divorce her because there's no kedusha in the marriage. That's different than the, you know, frivolous matzah isha or na himena, like the Rambam understand. Or, as I mentioned, there are some who suggest that if you look in other places, the phrase matzah isha na himena means not to physical beauty. It means, you know, midos tovos. So anyways, interesting. Rashi says that it refers to Rabbi Akiva, in Sinesa Shalach, and others in Snuahi, Lefnei HaMakom Shalach, or Sanui HaMishaleach, even if it's appropriate. Anyways, so the Gemara says, well, that seems to be a Sira, right? Because we seem to be criticizing him or encouraging him. But, you know, how can you, it's one or the other, no? Says the Gemara, "Velo pligi ha bezug rishon ha bezug sheni," meaning when it comes, look at Rashi. Zug rishon is eshes neurim, uba mishtari kra kitzid basrei. The pasuk after that, eshes neurecha uksiv v'nishmartem beruchachem uba eshes neurecha al yivgod. I mean, don't betray the, you know, the wife of your youth. Though that's a pasuk that's the that's quoted here, Vizos Shenit Tasu, right? Kasos Dima Es Mizbeach Hashem, Vechiva Anaka, Ve'ein Od Pnos, Alamincha, Velatachas Ratzon, Miedchem. Vamartem Alme, Alme or Alma? I think it's Alme, whatever. Alki Heid Beincha, Uvein Eishas Nurecha, Asher Atabagadataba, Vehi chevrascha ve'eshes brisacha. So the pasuk is lamenting, right, the sad, you know, termination of this, you know, youthful marriage, you know, which held so much optimistic promise, you know, and so on. So the Gemara is saying that, you know, attitudinally, like whether or not, you know, we're encouraging him that things are bad, get divorced, or whether we're upset with him, you know, that he, you know, is proceeding, you know, with this divorce, that there's a difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. Now, just to make it clear, you know, even in the Gemara, and that's what the Gemara means. So the Gemara says that the, let me just finish that line. So the Gemara says, that this is an example. This is what we mean when we say Amar Rav Elazar Kol Megarish Ishto Rishona Afilu Mizbeach Morid Olav, you know, Dema'os. And then we finish the Masechta. Wow. Yeah. So anyway, so the but this difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni, of course, is not a difference in the Chalosa Ishas. Like before, I was talking about, you know, maybe there's a difference between Arusa and Nesua. There, you might say that in the that, you know, the get is different because the Ishas is different. By the way, I should add the Netziv, this is on the Numar Mekomos. A few times in his Perish Al HaTorah, HaMikdavar finds it necessary to tell you, by the way, he says a couple of times, so obviously, you know, this thought this to be, you know, worth repeating. He says, by the way, this is on page 2,
yeah,
number 2, the Kosev LaSefer Krisos, Afilo Min HaErisin Sricha HaChanazu Kemoshe Kasav L'El. He says it several times. Meaning, he just wants you to know, again and again, that the Dine Get, per se, meaning what you need, the protocol of Gittin, is no different for Erison and for Nesuit. Meaning, you might have thought that since, you know, the Erison is only stage one, and there are Doraisa Nafkamina, and, you know, those Doraisa Nafkamina are not, you know, not technical. They reflect, you know, an incomplete Ishus. So you might have thought that to neutralize an incomplete Ishus takes less than to undo or dismantle a full Ishus. So the Netziv tells you several times here and elsewhere, by the way, that isn't true. You know, when it comes to Geirishin, there's no difference between Erishin and Nesuin. However, again, according to the Maharaj Dam, you know, that may be true in the protocol of Geirishin. It's not necessarily true in acceptable grounds for divorce, right? And you can see the difference between those two things. You could have been mechalek in either direction, frankly. That's what, how extensive, you know, is the dismantling process given what was built up. But remember, in the end of the day, not, you know, what the Netziv says is true, number one, and it should be that way, because in the end of the day, the chalos, eshasish, is totally in extant already at the time, the Erison. What's not is the, you know, the additional, you know, personal, you know, side of it. But the chalos, eshas, the isra, eshasish, all of that is already mishas Erison. Okay? But the idea that I'm going to ground emotionally, hashkafically, Hichos Deos wise, even Hichos Ishus wise, and even more so, even from an Ishus point of view, you know, that the grounds for divorce, that might be different. That's possible. So that's a distinction between Arusa and Nesua, and that's a distinction between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. Now, in this Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni, the Gemara has in the, here, but what I wanted to say is the Rashbash in that tshuva that I alluded to, Taf Yud Aleph, and some of the Rishonim earlier, say that the whole argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva is only in Zivug Rishon. Now, the Gemara here doesn't say that. Right? The Gemara says, you know, that this stira in the Gemara, you know, there's a difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. No one says anything about Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Akiva. But some of the notes, again, in that long Mishnah Melech, he has a whole bunch of suggestions. But this is already in Rishonim, as I say, in a couple of Rishonim. It's very interesting because the Rambam in Perek Yud, Halacha Chaf Aleph, so this is, I will get back to it, but Lo Yisa Adam Isha V'dayta L'garsha, says the Rambam, we'll get back to that in a minute. You shouldn't marry a woman with the intent of divorce. And if he's already decided to divorce her, then she shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't continue to live together. And then he says, then he gets to the Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Akiva, and it's so interesting that he has, again, this is buried, you know, I'm using the word, you know, advisedly, meaning it's not where you thought it would be. Now, we started with this topic, and I mentioned the Bahag and Shulchan Aruch start with this topic. And I think I mentioned that. For the Rambam, it's in Perek Yud Chos Gerushin Halacha Chaf Aleph. That's not the beginning of Hilchos Gerushin, right? But the Rambam says, "V'lo yigaresh Adam ishto rishona," right? Ellen Cain matzaba ervas davar shenemaki matzaba ervas davar. What? Two chidushim of the Rambam. Number one, he sounds like Beis Shammai. So far, right? And number two, what do you mean ishto rishona? Where did he get that from? I mean, the Rambam played up when he saw this thing about Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni in the Gemara. Right, he understood that it wasn't just to answer the stira, you know, the psukim in Malachi. Right, that this goes back to the whole Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Rabbi Akiva thing. So that's what Rambam says. You need matzah be'ervas davar for Zivug Rishon. But then, and then he adds, "Ve'ein ra'uy lemaher l'shaleach ishto rishona," meaning, you know, is there something special? You know, you would say it's the Rabbonu Shel Olam's, you know, shiduchim role maybe, but you know, it's also, you know, there's a certain, again, idealism and aval shnia imsneya ishalchena. So that's very fascinating. That's why the Rashbash thinks that the Rambam paskins like Beis Shammai, he says, but only Beziva Grisha. It's fascinating. There are others who think that the argument is only Beziva Ksheni. Meaning, if it's only Beziva Grishon, that means that Beis Shammai's very strict law, you know, very strict requirement, doesn't apply to Beziva Ksheni. He would be Modet to Beis Hillel. That, which is kind of what the Rambam's saying. So either Rambam parts like Beis Shammai and he thinks Beis Shammai is molded to Beis Hillel and Zivug Sheni, or it could be the opposite. In Perush of Mishnayis, which we read last week, the Rambam says he paskins like Beis Hillel. Right? So how come here it sounds like Beis Shammai? So it might be that he holds that we paskin like Beis Hillel, but that the argument is only in Zivug Sheni, in the opposite. That Beis Hillel agrees to Beis Shammai and Zivug Rishon. Either way, if you're distinguishing between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni, whether it's to paskin like Beis Hillel Shammai in Zivug Rishon or to paskin like Beis Hillel in Zivug Sheni, clearly this has nothing to do with the objective, you know, breakdown of the marriage. You know, because again, there's no there are emotional differences. And therefore, you know, from a Kedusha point of view, doing the right thing, doing the wrong thing, how much should he be, you know, working on this, you know, problem, trying to avoid, you know, an unacceptable solution or an unhappy solution, you know, etc. But in terms of the Chalos Ishus, unlike the difference between Erusin and the Suin, you know, the difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni, technically, in terms of the Ishus, doesn't exist. Right. So if you hold either of these two things, there's another distinction that the Mishnah Melech, you know, raises based on a tshuva of the Ran. The Ran has a tshuva in Simin Yud Zayin, where he says that this whole difference between Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni, he says that is only true in a case of being Megaresh es Ishto Bal Korcha, that's Midin Torah, you know, prior to Cherem Rabbeinu Gershon. So then, there's a distinction between, you know, Matzah Ervas Davar, according to Beis Shammai, or not, etc. Or Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni, etc. However, says the Ran, if we're talking about a situation where the woman agrees to the divorce, then it doesn't matter, Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni, Ekdicha Tavshilo, no Ekdicha Tavshilo, no Matzah Ervas Davar, everything goes. Now, again, I don't think that's so postured. By the way, that is Nifsak in the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, this Tshuva Saran made it into the Shulchan Aruch. It's mostly accepted. Just for the record, I'm not arguing against the Psak. That's fine. It makes sense, actually. I mean, it doesn't require so much of an explanation. We understand, right? But one could have argued, especially if you think, in other words, if you're looking at the relationship between this husband and wife, you know, then that's one thing. But of course, if, you know, if they're both on the same page, they want a divorce, you know, then, but if we're talking about the institution of marriage, you know, and whether or not there isn't, more pressure to salvage it. That's not to dismantle the chalos ishus and the kedusha that underpins it. Not everybody would necessarily agree with the Ran. But la halacha, the Shulchan Aruch does quote that Ran, and that is certainly very, very interesting. Okay. So let me just get back to a couple of the part that I skipped in the Gemara here. Let me talk about that for a couple of minutes, and then I want to talk about the Sefer HaChinuch and the Sefer HaBatim, and then we'll be done. So I skipped a little piece. It's always a little bit complicated, right? So let me Korei L'Mafreya again. So the Gemara, you're up to the Gemara here on Daf Sadi, Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Misharshia, that's a Rav, right? L'Rava. So Misharshia turned to Rava and he said, Im Libo L'Garsha, meaning if he, has decided, in his heart to divorce her, even if he hasn't done anything yet, maybe he hasn't even told her yet. V'hi osheves tachtav umisham shaso, right, and they're still, living together. Mahu. Now, what does umisham shaso mean? So most of the Rishonim mean that it refers to their physical relationship. Right? The Ravid, if you have just the back, if those of you have Shas Gemaras, if you look in the back for a minute, the Ravid in his Perush on the Rif, says that Misham Shaso means that she, does work for him. Like she works in the house or whatever. That's what Misham Shaso. He says, of course, there's not even a suffix. Here, let me just read it. Here, Asagas Araivid. Yeah. If you have it on the it's in the back, in the, last, basically the last page in Shas Gemara. You see, Tzadi Amid Aleph. Ho de boy mino rab misharshe me rabba. Ho ya beliba legarsha v yosheves tachtav u misham shaso mau. Says the Ravid, lo albiya ka'amar. The question is not whether or not he can continue their physical relationship, without either informing her or once the decision has been made that he's going to divorce her. Dehainu libnei grusha saleh sham rabbi nadarim. We'll see. We'll read that Gemara in just a minute in the Mar Makomos. But the Gemara says in the Nadarim very emphatically that there's a category called grusha saleh, and it's totally inappropriate for them to continue that part of their relationship. The simcha samcha osa al mikra ze ubarosi mikem haposhiv amordim ki ella instead al shimush acher imu muter lahashosa etzel kedei l'shamsho. Right? The issue is, can she still assist him, in the home or in work, whatever. Or now that he knows he's divorcing her, then it would be inappropriate, it would be exploitation to continue that relationship. But kol shekein, the living together part, is totally not even a suffix in the Gemara. Ella modia osa. But the way the Ravid says it is, he doesn't say that they can't continue that part of the relationship, meaning the work part or whatever. He's saying that he has to tell her, and it's up to her. Im tirtza l'shevas tachtav teshev, k'dixiv al tech rosh al reyacha ra'av, hu yoshev levetach itach. So, basically, what is the Ravid saying? Let's say he told her, right, and then she wanted to continue their physical relationship. Right? It sounds in the Ravid like that would not be permissible. Right? Only the work related, which totally makes sense. I mean, that's not up to her. Once there's already an understanding or decision, right, that this marriage is really emotionally been terminated, then it's a kind of quasi zus, as we'll see in a moment. So that but she agrees, so there's no problem. There's no, he's not fooling her or anything. I mean, there's a debate about this, but for the Ravid, that's the difference. Number one, that wasn't a la peric. No, you don't need a Gemara to tell you that that's prohibited, meaning the physical relationship. Number two, implicitly, that's not something she can agree to either. What's very interesting, though, is, again, the Rambam has this in the other way. The Rambam in Perek Yud mentioned before he talks about Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Zivug Rishon, that whole bit, he has Lo Yisa Adam Isha V'Daita L'Garsha. That's, you know, a Gemara that appears in a couple of places. He can't marry her with the... I think I mentioned this before, but Rav Sajagon, in his Perush Al HaTorah, you know, everybody scrambles to try to figure out what does Lo Yia Kadesh and Lo Siya Kadesha, you know, Mibnos Yisrael, that pasuk, what does it mean? Right? So the Rav Sajagon's Perush is he's not allowed to marry with the intention that he's going to divorce. He shouldn't say, oh, I'm going to marry her, you know, and in 6 months, you know, I'll divorce, or a year, or 2 years, whatever it is. That's called Kadesha or Kadosh, according to Rav Sajagon. Anyways, but this, not everybody agrees that most people have a different interpretation of Lo Yia Kadesha, Lo Siya Kadesha. Not for now. I think I mentioned Ramban about being a Din and Bezdin. Anyways, but either way, everybody agrees. There is this Gemara. The Gemara says explicitly that Lo Yigaresh Adam Isha V'Daita L'Garsha. But what's interesting is that the Rambam here says, and then he says, V'lo Tia Yosheves Tachtav U'Misham Shoso V'Daita L'Garsha. Right? Number one, he can't marry with the intention of Gerushin. Number two, if he intends to divorce her, then they can't continue, he doesn't interpret like the Ravid, but they can't continue their physical relationship. And then he says, Lo yigarish adam ishto rishona, elam kein batzabot, dvar erva, etc. Ah. What's interesting is, I don't have it here, but if you look in Perek Chaf Aleph of Hilchos Isurei Bia, so there the Rambam repeats this halacha, Perek Yud Aleph halacha Chaf Ches. Right? The Rambam repeats the halacha that you know, that he can't marry her, you know, with the intention of divorcing her. And there he adds, however, if he told her of his intention and she agreed, and they both agreed, that would be okay. No, it doesn't appear that way in the Gemara. That's the Rambam. You could argue, you could say, there's no such thing. It's almost like, you know, the Matzu Grushaso, you know, kind of like a cynical manipulation of the institutions. But that's what the Rambam says. But there are two interesting things. Then the Rambam goes on, and he talks about this case. Let's say, you know, he has in his mind to divorce her, and there he doesn't say, Im Hodia, that would be okay. So the Nosei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch make the diuk. They say, oh, there are two cases that the Rambam is speaking about here in Hilchos Gerushin. And in one case, in Hilchos Isurei Bia, he qualifies and said, you know, if they're both on the same page and she's, you know, mivateret, that's okay. But he doesn't say that about, you know, Grusha Salev, just like the diuk I made in the Ravid. That may be true for the Rambam. But I think it's also very interesting that even when it comes to the question of, you know, of getting married for the and with the intention of divorcing, where the Rambam does say im hodia, you know, that would be, if they both agree that it's okay, it's interesting that he says that in Hilchos Isurei Bia, but he doesn't say it in Hilchos Gerushin. It's interesting that he quotes some of these halachos in Hilchos Deos. I'm not going to go through all of them, that'll take too long. Some of them are in Hilchos Deos, some of them are in Hilchos Ishus, some of them are in Hilchos Gerushin, and some of them are in Hilchos Isurei Bia. And in some cases, he has the same halacha a couple of times, including this one, not getting married, with the intention of divorce. So why does he have it in both places? And why does he could have put all of them in Hilchos Deos, all of them in Hilchos Gerushin, all of them in Hilchos Isurei Bia? You know, sometimes he chooses where to put them, and sometimes, like this, you know, he has it in two places, but he has information in one place that's absent in the other. So I just want to make the point, without going, you know, too much into detail, that I think what the Rambam's doing here, like, is very subtle, but very profound. I mean, what he's saying is, these issues, you know, of Kedusha in a marriage, they really touch on like overlapping, you know, aspects of Jewish life. Meaning, on one level, you know, you can look at these questions from an Isuri Bia point of view, like you know if she, you know, is it like Znus? Is it really like Arayos? You know, when she's a Grusha Salev, or if he's marrying her thinking that he's going to divorce her, you know, in 6 months or something like that. You know, is that like, you know, Midrabanan or Hashkafically Isuri Bia? Is that what it is? That's one extreme. Or is it more like a Hilchos Deos Halacha? Like, there's no violation from the perspective of Isur. It's not even a violation from the perspective of Ishus and Geirusha. Right? But of course, this is just despicable behavior. It's not behavior that is conducive for somebody, you know, who's trying to cultivate a religious personality. Right? So there's a Hilchos Deos aspect. And then there's a Hilchos Ishus aspect, and there's a Hilchos Geirusha aspect. Meaning, are you making a mockery of the wedding? And are you, like, you know, manipulating or delaying, you know, instead of divorce being an unhappy, necessary, though, termination of the marriage, right, which what you're doing, you know, is your, it's like, again, like a reverse Machzor Grishaso, but the same idea. So I think it's interesting, number one, that the Rambam, you know, diffused these halachos and put some of them here, some of them there, some of them there, some of them there, and some of them in more than one place. And I also think that it's not a coincidence that the Rambam says, you know, im hodia, right, that would be okay, b'di'eved, you know, in the case of, you know, nosak almanas lagarsha, but he puts it only from an Isuri Bia point of view. I think what he's saying is, again, what he says, but I think the reason that he says it in Isuri Bia, not in Geirushin, is because it's never okay from a Geirushin point of view, you know, because it's a manipulation. That's not what Geirushin is for, right? If you know Meirosh that you're going to be Megarish, then obviously you shouldn't be getting married. But it's not a violation on any level of Isuri Bia, right? If the victim of this, you know, is somebody who acquiesces. So from the Isuri Bia point of view, that's acceptable. From a Geirushin point of view, that's my suggestion, why he omits it in one place and not in the other. Okay, anyways, so these are some of the issues. Let me just finish up, you know, the other Gemara. So, where are we? Yeah, so then the Gemara says, Tanya, Hayu Rav Meir Omer, Kashem Shadeos B'machol Kach Deos benashim. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains: Yesh lecha adam shezvuv nofel toch koso. Some people, a fly flies into their drink, right? Vizarko ve'enos shoseyu. So then they'll throw out the whole drink. Okay. Vizui midas papus ben Yehuda. So you know he was very draconian. He wouldn't let his wife speak to anybody, including her, you know, male relatives. Shei Noel Bifne Ishto Biyose. And Rashi explains, Bala Shomiriam Magdala, I'm going to tell that, because Yose Besa Lashuk Noel Delos Bifaneha, he would lock her in the house. Obviously, this is terrible. Shei Tadaber Lekolodam, Umbita Shei Nehogenasi, Shei Mitokach Eva Nechnesis Bineyem, Umezana Tachto, right? Number one, obviously, it's a, you know, where they say red flag, right? And not only that, but he drives her, you know, to his obsessiveness and his toxic behavior, you know, creates exactly what he doesn't want. So that's one category, the Gemara says. Then the Gemara says, Yesh lecha adam shezvuv nofel letok tamchui. I missed the other one? One second. And I'm sorry. Yesh chadam shezvuv nofel, the normal guy, the zvuv nofel, the toch koso, you know, a fly, you know, flies into his kos, the zarko, so he takes out the fly, right? The shoseyu, he doesn't throw out the drink. The zui midas kol adam shebnaberes imachia ukrobeha uminicha, right? You know, somebody who's a reasonable. Yesh chadam shezvuv nofel, the toch tamchui, motzaso, meaning he eats the zvuv, you know, and he the ochlo zui midas adam ra shara ishta yotza v'rosha perua, right? The tava v'shibashuk, her not behavior of actual znus, but in other words, very unsanua behavior. He's saying upruma mishneitz tadeh. This is where some of the standard issues come in terms of dress and behavior in public, etc., together with other gemaras and ksumas that have to be, understood. But this berochetzes in bnei adam, and she bathes or with other people. Says the gemara in bnei adam solka daitach. Right? Is that conceivable? So Rashi says if that were the case, im kein raglayim ledavar shazona v'asura lo. That would be more. That wouldn't just be a mitzvah legarsha. That would be a chiyuv, like Tosis calls it a chiyuv. Pirsha kudrusim kein raglayim ledavar shazona asura bechova legarsha. Right, v'lo mitzvah. Then Tosis says v'kasha d'atava b'shuk yotze rosha parua namichova legarsha v'lo mitzvah. It's not only a mitzvah, it's more than that. The bayah hibasota yaver soldasi hudis mutalakaima olo beliefshita. Bamaylo parch nami Allah. Why don't the Gemara give those examples? Yeshlam, but the kivin the bayah besota lohav elam the drabbanon. Those are drabbanons. Kamar shapir the mitzvah legarsha. You're not a chova because daraisa is no chova. Avozu the case here brochetzes. This he's saying is a daraisa. Zu chova legarsha min haTorah. That's one answer. The odes shlefarish rochetzes somebody on himself kadaitach. It's not that we're saying rochetzes is a chiyuv doraisa to divorce her. That's also maybe drabanan, but he's saying is there such a person? Afilu adam ra in a sovos ami ishto or afilu kalish of a kalos on osachet. Whether the outrage is him to tolerate or her, no one would do such a thing. Okay. Anyways, it was a different world, But anyway, it's just a very fascinating Gemara. So, anyways, the Gemara says in all these cases that Elab Mokum Shas Zum Mitzvah Natorah Legarsha Shneamar Kimatzah BaErvas Davar V'Shulchan Midesa V'Hocha V'Hayis Ali Shaker. So, of course, this language of Mitzvah Legarsha is the reason that some of the Rishonim said that if she behaves in a certain way, then Mitzvah Legarsha, the smag, what we're talking about, the discussion in the Tshuvas HaRashba. Really the truth of Rabbi Yossi and Pala, the things that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. This is where it comes from. So I just want to point out, this is what I meant then, the Rambam codifies these Gemaras, and he uses the expression mitzvah legarsha. He says, Isha ra b'dei oseha. It's also based on the Gemara in Yevamos Lamed Zayin. So Isha ra b'dei oseha. What does dei oseha mean? For the Rambam in particular, it's a very fascinating question. In Shulchan Aruch, they say, it means like her midos, her behavior. But it may be, for the Rambam, also b'dei oseha, because the Rambam is very sensitive to people have the right hashkafa, the right beliefs. That's an interesting question. But anyways, because the next line is, she'ena tsnu, is it i.e. v'she'ena tsnua kibnos Yisrael, or these are two different things. Isha ra b'dei oseha, A. B, she'ena tsnua kibnos Yisrael aksheros, right, she behaves immodestly. Mitzvah lagarsha, she'nema garesh leitz, v'yitzei madon, v'isha she'nskarsha, v'shem pritzus, ein roi la'adam kosher she'isa ena. Ein roi, shein zemotzi rishami beiso v'zeh machniso l'toch beiso. That's based on the end gemara that we're going to read here in just a second. So that's the point I'm trying to make, is that with the Rambam counts a mitzvah lagarish, but it's perfectly clear from Sefer Mitzvah Sankotet, this isn't the mitzvah lagarish. The mitzvah lagarish is when you're begarish to do it, b'derech, gerushin b'ksav. This is more like, this is buried in Perek Yud Halacha, Chafalev. This is a prat. The mitzvah here, the word mitzvah here doesn't mean minyan a mitzvos. It's a melitza. But for other Rishonim, this is the source of the mitzvah, and these are the cases of the mitzvah. Okay. So then finally, the Gemara here says, Hakasav Kara, well, here. Zumitzvah Natar Lagarsha, Shanema Kibatzah Ba'erva Stavar. The Shilcha Vivesav Ha'ochavai Salish Acher. Hakasav Kara'o Acher. Lomar, Einze ben zugo l'rishon, right? I mean, the first guy encountered the improper behavior, and he divorced her. And the second guy is marrying her, meaning they're not alike at all. He's an acher l'rishon. Zehotzi Risha mi Beso, Zehchnis Risha alutov Beso. And then the Gemara is very harsh, and the Gemara says, I mean, Zacha Sheni Shilcha, you know, if he knows what's good for him, you know, and if this is the kind of behavior that is typical, so then, you know, if he's Zocha, you know, he'll divorce her too. Shenemar Usnea Ha'ish Ha'acharon, Vimlav Kovraso, you know, Shenemar Oki Yamus Ha'ish Ha'acharon. Kedai Hu Bemisa Shazeh Hotzi Risha Mibesav Zehichnis Risha'a L'toch Beso. And the rest we did. So that's what the Rambam means. Just you can see how seriously the Rambam is taking these, you know, things. He quotes that part of the Limud. Ein ro, I'm sorry, he has, she'ein ze motzi rasha mitok beso, v'ze machniso l'tok beso. That's his Gemara. Good. Okay. So, I probably should stop. Okay. I thought I would get a little bit. What I want to do for next time, you can still keep the first Marmakomos, just, I need just, you know, the couple of Gemaras from it and Sefer HaChinuch. And then I want to do the Sefer HaBatim, which is in the new Maror Makomos. And I want to speak about HaMegaresh, you know, Es Ishto, and he said Chutz Leploni, briefly, just the question of being Megaresh, you know, Me'ahava. I want to talk about that. And then after that, we'll move on to Shtar and get from the first paragraph. Okay?